seconds. Did you ever think you would make it? I feel I'm so close, I could taste sweet victory. I know this life meant for me. Yeah, why would you bet on Goliath when we got Bet David? Value taming, giving value's contagious. This world of entrepreneurs, we get no value to hate. And I be running, homie, look what I become. I'm the one.
All right, so we got a home team podcast today with a friend in the house, Rob Smith. We got a lot to talk about. If you don't know who Rob Smith is, you will in a minute. He's a decorated Iraq War veteran. He served 5 years in the Army, including 2 tours in the Middle East during Operation Iraq Freedom. He was awarded the Army Commendation Medal and Combat Infantry Badge. He has spoken about politics and current events at Yale University, Google, Deutsche Bank, Vanderbilt University, and dozens of other colleges, universities, and companies across America. There's a... I want to say a special you did that got 10 plus million views. Was it with Vice?
It was the Vice, Black conservatives debate black liberals.
Phenomenal. I mean, if you've never seen it, you got to watch it. And then you're based out of Florida now.
Yes.
You're with Turning Point USA contributor. You promote their values of fiscal responsibility, free market, limited government daily, and you hold a master's degree. From Columbia University.
Columbia University, yes. I was with Turning Point.
Okay.
I was with Turning Point. Did a lot of work with Turning Point. Great organization.
Yeah.
Now, sort of kind of doing my own thing.
I love it.
So that Vice video was crazy. Went crazy. Black conservatives versus black liberals. Still, like, I've done a lot of stuff, but that's still the thing that people come up to me, airports, Amtrak, whatever. Like, oh, and that thing still flies crazy to this day. Somebody goes and watches that. Like, it still goes hard.
I love it. I think everybody... who hasn't seen it should see it because
yeah.
The exchange, how you handled it, how, you know, they got triggered and uncomfortable. Oh my God, he's kind of doing the same thing to me. It's a very interesting exchange to watch, but it's good to have you on. We
good
got a lot of topics to cover today.
So much.
A ton of topics. Obviously, this guy named, what's his name? Ron. I want to say, right? Ron DeSantis is announcing that he's running for office today. He's got a big announcement. We don't know what it is, but of course we all know what it is.
He's making the announcement
with Elon Musk on Twitter Spaces, and everybody else from mainstream media is probably disappointed that that announcement wasn't being made on mainstream media. Lots changing in the marketplace, so we'll talk about that. We know economy-wise, Tom, you got a few things to talk about with Jamie Dimon warning some additional banks that may go out of business due to the commercial real estate loans. Inflation pummeled U.S. household finances last year.
Indeed.
We got a few things to talk about with Apple announces multi-billion dollar deal with Broadcom for U.S.-made chips. China-Taiwan tension. Daily Wire just announced that they're planning on taking their podcast potentially on Twitter, following Tucker's lead. So they may also take their podcast to Twitter. Reports of Instagram making Twitter competitor prompts comment from Linda, who is now the CEO of Twitter. Looming existential crisis for cable news. Wait till you see the data that we have here. Tucker Carlson sends a legal threat to PAC, urging him to run for president. That's a Newsweek story. And then we got a few other things that's going on back here with Target. Is flip-flopping with the decision that they made. And then MSNBC guest claims Florida is about to be a terrorist state for black and LGBTQ community. And then Berkeley holds a segregated graduation ceremony for black students only. And last but not least, this is a story that we want to touch. Tom doesn't want to touch it, but we're probably going to touch it. It's how Bud Light blew it. And before we get into the stories, guys, we're about to announce our next live podcast. For those of you that have attended it, you know how insane it gets, whether it's now that we're doing it at night, the cigar lounge afterwards, the exchanges, the conversations, the networking. If you want to be one of the first to know, because the moment we announce it, the VIP tickets sell within the first 7-8 minutes. The last two times, they sold within the first 7-8 minutes. So if you want to know and be the first, text the word podcast to 310-340-1132. Once again, text the word podcast to 310-340-1132. Having said that, let's get right into the story with DeSantis and Musk. I think we start with that right off the bat. So DeSantis set to announce 2024 run for Twitter with Elon Musk. This is a New York Times story that I'm reading. Governor Ron DeSantis set to announce presidential campaign on Twitter in a live audio conversation with Musk. Sources reveal that DeSantis aims to reach a wide online audience, stating it's the right thing for society and it's the great thing for our brand. That's what Musk said. DeSantis faces the challenge of capturing attention amid competition from former President Donald Trump, who is expected to return to Twitter. By the way, if he's saying he's expected to return to Twitter, that's pretty wild. A pro-Trump super PAC criticizes DeSantis' campaign launch as out of touch and mocks his after party at the upscale Four Seasons Resort in Miami. Musk, who will moderate the Twitter event, has expressed support for DeSantis in the past, although not formally endorsing him. Musk has shifted his support toward the right and has engaged the right-wing conspiracy theories on social media. Again, remember, this is a New York Times story. Rob, thoughts on the story?
All right. So first of all, what people have to understand about Ron DeSantis is that he loathes the mainstream media. He really does not like these people. Okay. These people attack him. They try to obfuscate. They try to do all these different things. He does not like these people. So this is a brilliant move to take his announcement to Twitter, to Elon Musk, because he knows that that is going to be the most powerful platform. These platforms that we have online, whether it's YouTube, Facebook, whatever, but Twitter is the most powerful free speech platform in the world right now. So that is where he's going to take his message. He knows that as he runs for president over the next year to year and a half, the mainstream media, which basically focuses as like an arm of the Democrat Party at this point, is going to attack him at every turn. It's a brilliant move. I think that it'll be very interesting. And, you know, as far as, you know, DeSantis's capabilities as president or his possibilities, I have a lot of thoughts that I'll get into if you want me to. So I had dinner with DeSantis at the governor's mansion a couple months ago. And I think I told you about this the last time that I came here, right? So he was literally sitting right here. It was a 3.5-hour dinner, and it was endless. It was a long dinner. But I really got the sense of who – it was endless. But I got the sense of who DeSantis really is, right, outside of, you know, how the team presents him on Twitter and all this other stuff. And so this is the thing. This person is whip smart. This is a very, very, very smart man. This is a very smart individual policy-wise, okay? I think the issue that he is going to have is in these – interactions with regular people, the sort of small talk, the things that you have to do as somebody that's an entrepreneur or somebody that is a politician or somebody that is a public figure, these are not things that come natural to him. Okay. And it becomes very obvious when you spend more than 5 minutes with him. So I think that the fear is if he gets into this situation where if you ever went to the Iowa State Fair, and you know, this is basically a humiliation ritual that we put our candidates for office and our candidates for president through as a society. And you've got a Ron DeSantis out in the Iowa State Fair, like, you know, eating a hot dog on a stick or something like that and having to engage with people. The opportunity there and the threat there is to have a very negative viral moment where he's kind of just being a little awkward. The left takes that, blows it up.
Got it. Tom, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I agree with that. And I also think that that there's a macro element, and you're in the system, so you see some of this.
Yes.
The ad sales vice presidents at MSNBC, CNN, and Fox News are pissing on themselves today because social media and alternative platforms are taking the biggest show of the year to the American people.
That's the scary part, right? When you think of being a guy that's from that space, you know, to see, I bet they're probably losing their minds. That how the hell do we lose this?
Yeah. And I think that this is part of the strategy. You have to understand the DeSantis strategy and his entire team is that they want to make the mainstream media irrelevant. Okay. They do, because they know that these people are going to be anti
them
no matter what.
Fox, though. Because Fox, to me, is more DeSantis than they are Trump right now.
You know, I do not know. I think that he's still going to use Fox. Fox is still, you know, a very large cable news conservative entity, right? He went there to promote his book. He still uses that. And he knows that he will get a friendlier interview with Fox than he will get from a CNN or an MSNBC. But I think the long-term strategy is, in his eyes, to delegitimize the mainstream media in the eyes of the people that are his actual base. I asked him at that dinner. He actually got a little pissed at even the suggestion of this question. I was like, oh, you know, when you go on book tour, are you going to go to The View? He's like, why would I go to The View? You know, they're not going to give me a fair shake, blah, blah, blah. And he kind of like went on and on. I was like, okay. So, you know, not going to The View.
You know, it's so funny. I just wrote down here, do you think he's going to end up doing the CNN town hall, the MSNBC, going on The View, going on opposition, going on all those guys? I think the strategy, I think if Musk is in his ear, Musk knows they're going to get him more eyeballs on Twitter Spaces, and people will be able to answer questions, ask questions from him while they're going back and forth. I think that part's going to be the new direction, because when you are making an announcement, like, you know, even a CNN town hall, the CNN town hall, who's asking questions? The people that are in there, right? But it's still format it in a weird, you know, mechanical way.
Right. Right.
But if you do Twitter Spaces, it's set up in a way where it's like, hey, so tell us what you think about this. Hey, Ron, I had a question for you. That one time, what happened with Disney and Bob Iger, would you have done that again? Hey, the decision you made to go to 6 weeks abortion, do you think that kind of hurt you? You could have kind of set that aside and not really gone there. Why did you go there in the first place? Would you say that was one of your mistakes? Twitter Spaces, you can't really moderate what people can ask. Most people on town hall, they stand up and they do the following. Think about it. They go like this. Hi, Governor Ron DeSantis. I just want to tell you, I love the work you do. I'm a resident of Tallahassee. You're amazing. Okay, so if you were to do nobody does this on
it's
Twitter.
It's scripted. Spaces. Yeah, it's completely scripted.
This is the mechanical part to go away from it. But you got some thoughts you want to say on
yeah,
this?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, go for it. I got a few other thoughts.
By the way, at this dinner, was his wife there?
Oh, yeah. I did get to talk about Casey. Okay, yeah. So everything that Ron DeSantis lacks in terms of, you know, maybe a little personal charisma in terms of being able to interact with people, Casey has it times 20.
Agreed.
Casey DeSantis is absolutely fabulous. She has all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. So she is going to be such a huge part of this campaign. And I think that she will be a very big part of this moving forward. She's gorgeous. She's intelligent. This was a television newswoman before you know she became his wife and became the first lady of Florida, right? So everything that he's lacking in that department, she has. And I think she's going to be a huge star. I think that conservatives are going to fall in love with this woman if they have not already. And
yeah,
this
I think,
cannot speak highly enough.
I think mothers are going to fall in love with her.
Yes.
I think just independents are going to fall in love with her. I think Democrats are going to fall in love with her. We also had the opportunity to meet with DeSantis recently without disclosing much details. And Ron and Casey sat at the head of a room, and there was a handful of us in this room. And I fully agree with you. Ron DeSantis is 100% a policy wonk.
Mm-hmm.
Even when he walked in the room, it wasn't like, hey, everybody, thanks for being here. You know, hey, how you doing, buddy?
Yeah,
hey, how you,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
None of that. It was like, hi, so my agenda worked out, and basically in the fiscal year, and we're like, oh, okay, we're getting right into this thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And he just went, brrr, teachers unions and this and that. No humanity, like marketing perspective whatsoever. But she spoke, and it was very impressive. Mm-hmm. Pat, would you agree?
Yeah. I mean, there's no question about it that she is a formidable first lady.
Yeah.
And by the way, if you go back to the last 8 first ladies, let's go all the way back to Reagan, okay?
To Nancy.
Nancy was super protective. If you read books about Nancy, she was a ball buster behind closed doors, and she would not let you take advantage
cold.
Of her husband.
Very cold.
She, yeah, very cold. So sometimes she hurt, you know, the direction she would, you know, he would go. But eventually, she was somebody you had to win over. She wasn't John F. Kennedy's wife, Jackie. Jackie was just beautiful, and she wasn't like, you know, she was just put together, nice clothes, marketing, all that stuff. But Nancy was actually like a fighter, and people feared her. You go to any of the other ones, you know, we've had great ones. You know, there's a
Michelle, Melania.
But to me, Michelle is a superstar of a first lady for the Democratic Party. She's not good for the Republican side. You know, she would dig at Obama all the time, and, you know, she's this, he's that. That is a very good play for the Dems, maybe not on the Republican side. Casey is a first lady for a, you know, the Republican audience, independent, also winning part of the left as well. And if you look at Trump's wife is a model who has an audience, but Trump's wife's not going to get in there and do the work that, you know, not do the work, but she's not going to get in there and saying, hey, I'm going to campaign over here. You go over here. I'm going to go give this speech.
Yeah.
That was his daughter. Trump's wife, the role of a first lady in a strange way was played by Ivanka.
Correct.
Which she was a powerhouse. When she spoke, people lost their minds when she would speak because she had that that part with her. But there's a few things that we have to be thinking about right now. With this announcement. Okay. So one, is it too late? Okay. So let's address some of the FAQs. Is it too late? You know, it's already too late. He's panicking. He's kind of announcing right now. I thought he was going to make the announcement after all the other stuff. Why is he doing it sooner? Okay. Maybe he's doing that after the Disney stuff that happened. Maybe he's doing it after some of the, you know, the not the best start to a campaign. What people have to realize is Trump announces in 2015, he announced running on June 2014, I believe, or something. Can you check Trump's birthday? Whatever Trump's birthday was, that's when he announced. And he wasn't a political figure. So for him to say, I'm going to run June 14th, June 14th, yeah. He announced 2015, June 14th. So essentially, that's what? That's 3 weeks from today. So if he announces today, he's still fine. Two, Trump is still ahead 37% as of today. So it's not like it's a small lead that they have. Three, most of Trump's ads have been towards DeSantis. A lot of the ads they've been spending. And I think I saw on Fox the article that Trump spent more money ads against DeSantis than they did for midterms. More money was spent on ads against DeSantis than midterms. What does that mean? That means the MAGA, even Trump's campaign, sees him as a formidable threat right there. Trump's PAC spent $15.3 million on DeSantis ad, more than midterms total. So we have to know that as well. Now, Tim Scott comes out with $20 million. He announces it this week, right? $20 million, which is fine. You got $20 million. And I think Tim's going to get the job on whoever the next administration is. And he may be a great VP candidate. I think he is a role player. DeSantis, they said $86 million, what, 4 weeks ago? He's going to get $100 million. I wouldn't be surprised if Elon gives him $50, $100, $200 million. This is because here's what I think is happening. This is what I think is happening with this whole Elon thing. I think this is more about Elon than it is about DeSantis. And that kind of sounds weird, but I think it's about more Elon than DeSantis. I think Elon is realizing this political game is kind of cool. And you can be Iron Man, which is cool. And he played a role of Iron Man. What happens when you're Iron Man? Well, you know, you hook up with all the top Hollywood celebrity, you know, women. And you can kind of go and say, yeah, I used to date her. Yeah, I used to be with Amber Heard. Yeah, I used to be, yeah. So you're kind of over that. Now what? Okay, next thing is, well, I don't know. I get respect, but legacy, this is a pretty interesting fight. I don't like what they're doing, kind of like what Sebastian was saying yesterday. But now it's kind of like, you know what job is open? What job is open? Who the hell is the next Murdoch? Who the hell is the next media? I wouldn't mind competing for that kind of power. And what if I have the business? What if I have the billions? I can never run for office like that Turner. I can never run for office like Trump. What if I do this? So Musk is a case study to show, can a Musk, with the help of Rogan and others, convert and catch up on a 37-point lead that the opponent has? If they catch up, you know what this says in the marketplace? In the marketplace, the most powerful man in politics is officially Elon Musk. Mm. If he pulls this off. If he doesn't pull it off and Trump still wins. And by the way, even if they get close and the difference is like 3, 4, 5%, Elon Musk will be the most. You know how they have Suzanne Scott as the number one person?
Yeah.
Next year's Mediaite's list needs to scrap everybody else and put Elon Musk as number one. Mm-hmm. And that's my opinion.
Do you think this is going to be considered an endorsement for Ron DeSantis? Like, this is a big deal. Like, you talked about that he's basically making the legacy media irrelevant.
Yes.
I think he still is going to need to, you know, make appearances on mainstream media, CNN, Fox. I don't think he's necessarily going to make them irrelevant. He doesn't want to be fully reliant on that,
yeah,
for sure. But this move with Elon, this is massive. So first Tucker.
Yeah.
Now you got DeSantis, this upcoming announcement. The question is, Trump's been so aligned with Truth Social. He hasn't made any concessions to doing anything with Twitter. Is this going to be the straw that broke the camel's back to make Trump say, all right, screw it? If DeSantis is getting all this attention with Elon freaking Musk on Twitter, I got to go ahead and head to Twitter. I want to know if that's something that you think Trump's going to do.
I believe so, absolutely. I believe Trump will be back on Twitter. And honestly, you know, the Truth Social thing hasn't really taken off the way that they want it to. You think? So remember when they announced the Digital World Acquisition Corporation, the DWAC thing, right? And so basically what that was, and I'm going to get in trouble with Mog World, but that's fine. Like, I'm out of Trump world. I did that. I don't care anymore. Look, a lot of them who knew what was happening made a lot of money off of the DWAC thing, right? And then it went right there. Mm-hmm. So all of them made their money and then they disappeared, right? And so Truth Social is going to be a big part of that. I remember all the rumors about, you know, when Trump, you know, left the White House, that they were going to announce Trump TV and they were going to do this whole media conglomerate thing, right? So yes, Trump will absolutely be back on Twitter. Here's the thing that people don't understand about Trump. Because number one, nobody in the circle wants to say anything negative, okay? And one of their fundamental weaknesses right now is that they live in a bubble where nobody can speak the truth. Trump's fatal flaw is that he just loves attention too much. He loves attention so much that he will not just stay on Truth Social. The Truth Social post can make a little bit of a news cycle or make a couple blogs, whatever, but him being on Twitter is seismic. And that is a man, and that is a movement at this point that just thrives on attention. And I would not be surprised if he came back to Twitter literally within the space of the next few weeks just to sort of tamp down on some of this momentum in this conversation that we're having about Elon and about DeSantis announcing on Twitter. So, yeah, he'll be back there. Absolutely. 100%.
You know, I think there's an angle here, and maybe because I'm a little geeky, that I see. I had the privilege of being at some confabs where I saw some tech CEOs at certain points in their career, and then I see them later how they engage the media and talk to the media. I saw Zuckerberg on stage 2008, 2009. That guy was not ready for prime time. Now he can carry his own on a congressional hearing and with the media. And if you want to take a look at 15 years ago, the way Elon Musk and Peter Thiel and the rest of the and Reid Hoffman and the rest of the PayPal mafia, you look them doing a team interview on TV and disrupting financial services with PayPal. They were geeks. They were college guys. They were barely able to carry the conversation. Now look at Elon Musk, how he can play the media and how he can present it. If this week is about Elon Musk having a big week for Twitter, the platform, having a big week for Elon Musk, the power broker, and then having a big week in general for attention, if that's all it is, then that's all it is. But if there is a true friendship and a relationship forming between DeSantis and Musk can say, Ron, I've been there. This is how you have to get there. I think that's a very powerful combination if there's a real relationship there, because DeSantis can learn from Elon, who was very geeky and awkward and now can carry his own with the media.
You know who else I think be good to be in his ear? A Joe Rogan. I think a Joe being in
100%.
So for example, like if I'm DeSantis's campaign manager, let's just say, let's go through the step process. Number one, is he making the launch in the best possible way? I don't think there's a better way to make the announcement. I really don't think there's a better platform for him to go to make the announcement than Twitter Spaces. I'm 100%. That's number one. Nothing's above it.
Completely.
Okay, let's look at some of the next 10, 15 moves. Let's process the next 10, 15 moves, okay? number one, in the 10, 15 moves, you got to get on the Rogan podcast, mm-hmm. okay? You got to get on the Megyn Kelly podcast. You got to get on the PBD podcast. You got to go to those three. Why? Rogan's going to humanize you because Rogan's going to bring out the human side of you. You're going to talk, and it's going to be a great conversation. Megyn Kelly is going to get the women who are not happy about the decision you made for the six weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was a big hit.
Oh, yeah.
And she's going to come at you. You're going to go show. You're going to go there.
And they can make up a little bit on that, too.
No
problem. You can see his humanness.
Mm-hmm. Yes. He can come over here and talk about how the business audience can trust him, how the entrepreneurs, capitalism, as well as some of the stuff that we've addressed over the last, 12 months. And then from there to me, he's got to do a CNN town hall. He's got to do an MSNBC town hall. He's got to go on a View. Mm-hmm. He's got to go to the places he doesn't want to go. Why?
Yeah.
Because the other guy is going to go to all those places. For example, do you think Trump's going to do a Twitter Spaces in the next 3, 6, 12 months? 100%.
Yeah.
What do you think the Twitter Spaces is going to be with Trump and Musk? You think that's going to be the biggest Twitter Spaces in the history of Twitter? It's going to shut it down. By the way, couple things to be thinking about. I want you to go on YouTube right now. Always look at the stuff like this. Go on YouTube and search the following words, okay? Search the words DeSantis and Musk. Type in DeSantis Musk. Take the and out. Yeah. So then go to filters to the top left. Go to today. Go to today. That's today. And then go to view count. Go back to filters. Go to view count. Okay. And now let's look at how many people cared about the announcement yesterday. The numbers are not that big, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if you look at 161 WPBF, you got NBC 212, Bloomberg 5,200, go a little lower, make that, yeah, exactly. CNN, only 50,000, Okay. NBC, only 30,000. Forbes, only 83,000. DeSantis on MSNBC, 69,000. 102,000 on ABC. 2,800, that's 17 hours ago. 2,900, keep going lower and lower. 102,000, 83. Now, somebody may say, well, Pat, you got to go look at Fox, because I bet when they said this guy was going to announce, the Fox one probably has 1.5 million. Okay, go to Fox's channel, okay? Go to Fox News' channel. If you go to Fox News' channel and go to videos, okay, and then let's go lower and go to the part where they announced DeSantis and Musk. Keep going lower, keep going lower, keep going lower, keep going lower. Okay, right there, DeSantis to announce. Can you zoom in? 40,000 views? What are we, maybe that's not the main one. Go back and zoom out to see if there's any other ones. Maybe
a little bit lower.
Okay, how much is that one? 25,000 views.
Yeah.
Keep going lower, keep going lower, keep going lower. Maybe there's another one. Keep going lower, keep going lower, keep going lower. Not that, we're already at a day. Okay, so meaning, this is the point. If only that few people are caring about the announcement, this says a couple different things to me, okay? One, the bit of an irrelevance so far, where people really don't care because they've in their mind made up their minds the guy is going to be Trump for the Republican side. Again, I may be wrong. Two, if this is where you are, you now have to play the comeback game. So the comeback game to me, this doesn't mean it's over at all. The comeback game to me is, you have to out town hall Trump. You have to out be sitting there with people, shaking hands, doing combos. You have to go on the kind of a campaign a few people have ever done to show your face everywhere for people to say, this guy's strong. This guy's likable. He's willing to sit down with the opposition. We all know he's brilliant. We all know he's smart. Damn, I love his wife and how they work together. I totally relate to what she's saying. She's going to protect me as a mom. We're good to go. But meaning, the announcement wasn't as big of a pop. I want you to think about this. Say the biggest announcement you're ever going to make in your life, and you're going to make it with the richest man in the world. Shouldn't it get millions? It did not. So that's a little bit of a concern. There's nobody in the world you could have made the announcement with that's a bigger name than Elon Musk. So tonight's Twitter Spaces on how it's going to be held. I wonder how many people are going to log on. I wonder how many views it's going to get. And I wonder how many people are going to get on there because Musk is doing it. And I wonder how many people are going to get on there because of DeSantis. How he shows up today, it's got to be so important on how you prepare. Meaning, I'm sitting with him, Casey. I'm saying, babe, tell these 5 jokes, okay? Self-deprecate yourself a little bit, okay? Talk about, you know, what it is, you know, about being a father, how much you love being that. But, you know, you're doing your best to be a great father and your marriage and how much you love America. But self-deprecate a little bit yourself. If you can do that, because today it's really a Nixon opportunity. Meaning, Nixon was great on radio. You don't see DeSantis' face tonight. It's Twitter Spaces. It's a good position for him to be only his voice, not the face and reaction or any of that.
There's no
stuff.
Visual this whatsoever?
Is, no, Twitter Spaces is only audio. Spaces. So anyways, those are some of the things I'm thinking about when it comes down to this.
Go ahead.
Well, I just want to say I disagree.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you why I disagree. We have to understand this. DeSantis is not winning a general election right now. We're still in the primary. Mm-hmm. And I think that sometimes people who do this and sort of like are in this world, in this media world, in this political world or whatever, sometimes we can be in a bit of a bubble, right? And so I want to step out of the bubble a little bit. And we have to realize that his pure focus right now is beating Donald Trump for the Republican presidential nomination. It's not going on. It's not appealing to independents. It's not trying to get people from the left to come in. It is to beat Donald Trump, to present himself to Republican primary voters as the viable alternative to Donald Trump. So I think that what he needs to do right now and what he's doing is he has to get out to where these people are. Mm-hmm. So The View and CNN and MSNBC and mainstream, those are not a concern until he gets the nomination because those people hate his guts already. So his team is making the calculation that I have to go where my people are. So I don't know that these low numbers on YouTube, and I don't know that these low numbers are indicative of a lack of enthusiasm. And I don't even know if there needs to be a whole lot of enthusiasm for the announcement outside of this base. The only thing he needs is that base. He needs enough Republican primary voters to make the choice for him against Donald Trump. And then after that, that's when he goes to the gauntlet of the mainstream news. And one more point that I wanted to make is that when we talk about DeSantis having to go on here, Joe Rogan, the Megyn Kelly podcast, I think that as people that have a sphere of influence in the sort of free thinking conservative media world, like whatever you want to call it, I think that there's a responsibility for us to ask these people tough questions as well. Not to be like The View, where we're actively going out against you, but to ask real questions. Megyn Kelly has said before on her show that she has been inviting DeSantis on for months and he won't take the invite because Megyn Kelly's going to ask him questions.
Of course.
You know, and I think that that's our responsibility, you know, Megyn Kelly's responsibility, Joe Rogan's responsibility to ask them tough and real questions, but not, you know, to be attacking them in a way that they know
I don't
that
think she
CNN
will.
And MSNBC
I, no,
will.
I don't think anyone, I don't think Joe's attacking. I think Joe's going to be the safest place for him to go.
Yes.
And I, again, I think Joe has the gift of making people like you. Like, yeah. He increases your likability score. I think Megyn Kelly has women that follow her that are going to be saying, okay, if Megyn Kelly gives the nod, because Megyn Kelly is not going to be a Trump supporter.
Yeah, yeah.
She's going to be more DeSantis. So it's a very safe place as well for her to go mm-hmm. to, for him to go to. But, you know, again, hopefully you're right. I think sometimes when you're saying Trump's camp has only people around him that are telling him what he wants to hear, I think the same can be said about DeSantis.
Oh, absolutely.
I think that was the biggest flop of any book launches in the history of presidential candidates. For him to come out with the book and the launch did the way that it did,
yeah.
I can't think of a person who was at the number one position or number two position for president to launch the book as bad as they did. All he had to do with the book launch is tell his publisher, wait 3 months.
Yeah.
Let's launch it in June.
Yeah.
Let's launch it in May. Not let's launch it in February. Everybody forgot. The look you just made, you forgot that his book came out 4 months ago.
I forgot it came out, and I didn't know that it did. I mean, it just
3 months ago
thing,
the book came out.
It happened, and then it kind of disappeared.
No, that's terrible, bro.
I didn't go to any party.
The point
is,
it should have launched right about now.
Yeah.
Right.
You launched today. You launched today on the Twitter Spaces. Today's the day you launch.
Well, again, his biggest problem is that he has a marketing problem.
Yes.
You know, so he's going to have to address that. And then back to your point, you're absolutely right. He is focused on the primary right now.
Yeah.
The general rule is you focus on the primary, then you pivot in the general election. We all know that.
Yeah.
He does have a game plan, an agenda. Remember the whole whiteboard thing, where essentially, if you look at the conservative base, you know, one third of it is never going to not vote for Trump. Never happening, not happening whatsoever. Another third of it, all right, is potentially, maybe like a quarter of it, potentially willing to go outside of Trump or DeSantis, right? Tim Scott, Nikki Haley, Pence, what have you. So meaning there's a chunk, 50% or so, that is quote unquote right for the taking. This is his game plan. So his intentions are he's going to the run to the right of Trump. He's going to say, I'm more conservative than Trump. I have more conservative values than Trump. That's not my opinion. That is literally his
you're right.
game plan.
You're right.
Okay.
I don't think it's a good move for them.
Are you kidding me? That's a terrible.
That's
Ted Cruz.
I don't want.
That's the Ted Cruz.
Yeah. I don't want to hijack, but you know, in that conversation that we were having in the 3 hour that 3.5 hour dinner, there are some things about the space, and there's some things about the people that they need that they don't get.
Yeah.
They do not get.
Well,
wait, what was that again? Say that again.
I think that there are some things about where the space is right now. We've gone to conservative, free thinking, independent, whatever. There are things about this space that they do not get.
Got it.
I
agree.
There's things about the space that they do not get.
Because again, you're in a bubble. The same thing you said with Trump, you're saying he's in a bubble. I actually think he's in a lesser of a bubble than DeSantis is in a bubble.
You may be right.
I think Trump's bubble, he's got people around him that, look, he'll go to UFC. He has people like Dana White around. You think Dana's going to be like, yes, sir. Dana's going to be like, hey, what do you think about this? Hey, can I ask you a question? What happened on the thing with you and Elon? I mean, let's get, hey, what happened with you and Rogan? I talked to Joe the other day. I don't see Dana White being that guy. You go on Nelk Boys, it's very risky to talk to younger 20, 30-year-old boys. And you're like, yeah, so you don't ever know what those guys are going to be asking you. They're not like proper Sean Hannity safe space. So I think, believe it or not, I think Trump has less protection than DeSantis has. DeSantis has been, it's like a fighter. And by the way, this is what's going to sound crazy. I see this guy as a brawler. I totally see this guy. This guy is a brawler. He's a fighter. Hey, can you guys honestly take those masks down? Like, why are you wearing? You don't need to do this. Take your masks off. What are we doing here? I like that. Mm-hmm. You know what? We're not going to do that right now. I like that. There's a part of that that. And by the way, do you remember back in the days, people used to say America's not ready for a president out of New York? You know, so Chris Christie, New York is not America. We're not ready for somebody that's going to be so bombastic. And well, guess what? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
America's ready for a guy from New York.
Yeah.
So, and this guy's not from New York. He's more proper. He's a fighter. Mm-hmm. He's being protected a little too much. And you got to go fight some people that annoy you.
And to use your fighter analogy, I think his whole narrative for months now, don't forget, he just won re-election for governor of Florida November.
20 points.
That was his focus, right? He
crushed
beat the living snot out of... Charlie Crist.
God.
And his whole thing was like, listen, speaking of being in a bubble, you know, we're focused on DeSantis because we live in Florida.
Yes.
Clearly, based on national media or YouTube, it's not a main focus. He's been focused on Florida. His whole
narrative. Did the numbers surprise you?
A little bit. Yeah. But again, his whole thing is I'm not a candidate yet. They're talking about me so much. Trump's going against me. They spent millions of dollars again. I'm not even a candidate. But I'll tell you what. What this to speak to your fighter analogy? Remember in Rocky and Apollo Creed when they go out and then they do their fight, and he goes, "All right, how do we want to do this?" And Apollo just goes, "Ding, ding, the fight is on now, as of today."
Mm-hmm. Rocky was for the people. DeSantis is not yet coming across as he's for the people. Rocky won the people. He has to win the people. Listen, Ron DeSantis, Casey, whoever's watching this, if you watch this clip at all. Governor Ron DeSantis, we're in Florida because of you.
Yes.
I got a recommendation for you. Get away from everybody and watch the movie Gladiator. And then go to the scene where Russell Crowe asks, I also want my freedom. And he says the magical words, win the crowd, win your freedom. You're brilliant. You're smart. You're intellectual. You're intelligent. You got a great resume. You have won. You have not won their freedom. You have not won the people. You have to do whatever you can to win the people today, okay? Not the smart people in the room. You know, sometimes you're like, well, I can sit with anybody and I can beat them intellectually. Dude, that's not how you win, okay? I can sit there and talk. That's not how. You got to win the crowd. You got to win the crowd. We had a girl years ago when I got into the insurance space. This girl was the smartest girl in our office. It's 2003, okay? She saw herself as a Oprah Winfrey. Smart girl. Brilliant. And everybody would go to her to questions. So some of the guys that I was training would say things like this to me. They would say, Pat, I got to tell you, man, I go to her because she knows more about insurance than you do. Hmm. I'm like, does she? Yeah, she knows more about products than you do. I said, you're right. Go to her. So they would go to her to learn about products. But they would come to me when it came down to sell. They would come to me when it was time to promote. They would come to me when it was time to train. They would come to me when it was time to drive. And guess what? I knew about products as well. But she spent her entire life wanting to know everything about the product and not the people. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, fast forward 10 years later, she's by herself, knows everything about products, but she's got nobody to train. And everybody wakes up and says, oh my God, we thought that guy didn't know anything about products, but he won the crowd. Nobody cares how much you know about policy level at the humane level. You can outschool any governor, any senator, any congressman, anybody when it comes down to issues. Yes, but you got to win the crowd, and you have not won the crowd yet. That's my biggest criticism. You win the crowd, you win your election, you become a president.
PBD, you are 10 million percent accurate.
I was hoping to be 11 million percent, but I'm off.
Well, you know, my math isn't so good.
I got to get better.
I'm trying to win the people. Because I'll tell you why. You see, like in the Republican primary, people are like, how did Trump do it? Well, you know, they say you got to talk to people like at a fifth grade level, but they broke down candidates and it was like, well, Jeb Bush talks at a sixth grade level. Ted Cruz is at an eighth grade level.
Yeah.
And And that Trump is at a third grade level. And I don't mean that condescendingly. I mean, he is talking right to the people. Mm-hmm. Simple terms. Build a wall. Lock her up. Drain the swamp. These are messaging points that people can chant, get behind.
Yes.
DeSantis, as of now, has none of that.
And I got to tell you about Trump. Okay, so you guys met Trump, yes?
Yes.
Okay, so met him multiple times, and the amount of charisma that this person has is that, like, people can see it, and people can see the videos of the rallies or whatever, but the charisma is off the charts. There's extra charisma. This is somebody that can go into a room. He can talk to billionaires. He can talk to the guy that's a cashier at McDonald's, and that is something. There are these intangibles, right? There are certain things that you cannot teach. There are certain things that you cannot train. You cannot train the ability, and you cannot teach the ability that he has to connect with the American people. And one more thing that I will say about Trump, if we're talking to Trump versus DeSantis thing, and this is what I think a lot of people miss. There is now a nostalgia factor for a lot of people in the base when it comes to the Donald Trump presidency. Mm-hmm. Because when they look back at their actual lives, not what the media was saying, not what, you know, paid operatives in the MAGA camp or the DeSantis camp are saying, when they look back to their lives were better. Their gas was cheaper. Their groceries were cheaper. They were making more money, and the money that they were making was going further. So now they feel the results of this Biden economy in their own lives. And man, I want to go back to that.
Yeah.
I remember what my life was like when he
was president. Tom, can I build you up for a second? I think what Tom said is almost metaphorical.
Be careful with that.
Okay, all right. I'm not going to touch you, Tom.
I'll touch this.
What you said about the analogy, how you're a geek and you would go to these Silicon Valley type things and you saw the Reid Hoffmans of the world and the Elon Musk of the world and the Peter Thiels of the world. And they were just kind of these nerdy tech guys getting started.
Suddenly famous, great little companies.
And now you look at them now, and they've been media trained, and they're media savvy. Think about how long...
In front of Congress a couple times.
Exactly, all that. Just think about how long Trump has been in front of the cameras and on stage.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
We're talking 40 years, all right?
In New York.
And we're talking to DeSantis, we're talking 4 years, okay?
Maybe.
So he's got... some catching up to do. Anyway, this is what I was saying in relation to what you were saying.
I want to get Tom's last final thoughts, and then we'll go to the next story. Go ahead, Tom.
I think what everybody remember is it's baseball season. Right now, this feels a little bit like spring training. And in 60 days in August, we're going to have two all-candidate debates. One is in Milwaukee. The other is in Simi Valley. And they're in August.
Opening day, Tom.
That is opening day of the Republican. And then guess what happens?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing happens for 120 days until we get to January. And so what will happen in those 120 days? Well, if interest rates don't move the other way, people are all thinking about how they're doing. If there is a recession and more layoffs to the end of the year, people are going to be thinking about what they're doing. There is a lot of opportunities to talk to candidates over those 120 days to say, what's your plan?
Mm-hmm.
What's your plan? It sucks now. I know you want us all to vote for you, but what's your plan for 120 days from opening day? And it's going to get kind of tough, and it's going to get redundant and a little boring. But then the first polls at the beginning of January, because it's a fact that because it's Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina. So you have Iowa, which is now really a light blue state now. It's no longer red. It is light blue. And then you have New Hampshire, which is very light red, always contrasting Vermont, that is dark blue. And then you get South Carolina, bright red. Those happen in, and I say, that's baseball playoffs. That's when the game really starts, in January with those playoffs. But we're going to go through just like the long summer of baseball.
We're going to see what's going to happen. But what is happening right now is Pride organizations are canceling events all over Florida due to climate of fear after state passes anti-LGBTQ laws. This is an insider story. Pride events in Florida are being canceled due to the law, and organizers in St. Cloud canceled their events, citing the unsafe environment created by recent laws targeting the LGBTQ community. The decision followed the signing of a bill by Governor Ron DeSantis that imposes penalties on businesses allowing children to witness adult live performances with potentially sexually explicit content. Other Pride events in Tampa, Port St. Lucie, and Lake County have also been canceled due to concerns over this. MSNBC guest claims Florida is about to be a terrorist state for black and LGBTQ people. This is a Mediaite story. Democratic strategist Aisha C. Mills appeared on MSNBC Deadline and claimed that Florida is about to be a terrorist state for black and LGBTQ people, praising the NAACP's travel advisory as extremely clever. Mills expressed her personal discomfort as a lesbian and a black woman, stating that she does not want to have anything to do with Florida and believes that many others feel the same way. She commented, she commended the NAACP for issuing the advisory and thanked them for their broad guidance. And Representative Brian Donalds criticized the travel advisory as stupid and without basis, while Fox News contributor Geraldo Rivera dismissed it as a fear-mongering publicity stunt. So how much of this, what they're doing, are they trying to, you know, they're realizing DeSantis is potentially going to be who he's going to be, and they're trying to target him. What do you think is, and can they actually make Florida terrorist states? What do you think about these two stories?
It's ridiculous. Look, seriously. You know, am I allowed to, like, what's the language barrier?
Go for, you
on
can
this
go.
Thing?
Light
okay,
it up.
Look, number one, like, I'm a black gay dude, and Aisha Mills is full of shit.
Yeah.
All right. She's full of shit. And what's going on here, you have to understand, there's a lot of different things that's going on. Ron DeSantis is seen as, so I think that the left is more scared of Ron DeSantis than they are of Donald Trump, just because they know how to deal with Trump, and they're not quite sure how to deal with DeSantis, right? So there's a lot of this political stuff that is happening that's sort of trying to make it seem as if Florida is just this apartheid state, and if you are black or gay or both or whatever, then you just live in this constant fear and constant danger. It is completely ridiculous. I've been living in Florida for the past 3 years. I've been living in Miami for the past year. This is a great place. It doesn't matter if you're black, white, gay, straight, whatever. Florida is just a great place to live, okay? And so with this is all about is the LGBTQIAK++, the alphabet people, the mm-hmm. rainbow mafia, mm-hmm. right? I don't identify with any of that stuff. Like, I'm just a gay dude. But they're becoming this sort of target market for the Democrats, right? Yep. They want to make them another victim group. Like, they've made black people a victim group, that they've tried to make Latinos a victim group. They want to make these LGBT people like a victim group for them. So in order for them to be a victim group for the left, they have to push their propaganda that says that you can't live in Florida, all of these laws are bad, all of this other stuff. It is completely ridiculous. Like, it just is not based in reality. And when you look at these quote-unquote anti-LGBTQ laws, it is, again, bullshit. Number one, there's no such thing as a trans child. And a lot of these laws are basically, in laws in Florida and other states, it's basically saying that we need to pump the brakes on pumping young kids full of puberty blockers and doing all these experiments that do not have any long-term studies, okay? That is not anti-LGBTQ or whatever. That is, like, just pro-common yep. sense, okay? And so, look, I'm somebody like, I'm a guy like, you know, I watched RuPaul's Drag Race and I went to drag brunch and all of that other stuff. It is, and Megyn Kelly had said the same thing on her podcast.
Yep, I heard that.
It had always been just this fun thing for adults to do. And it had,
keyword, adults.
Adults. To do. Yeah. Adults. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And this had never become a thing that was oriented towards children until recently in the past 5 to 7 years. Now, I'll say something that got me in a little bit of trouble when I said this on other outlets. What a lot of people don't realize about the fact that all of this stuff is now being targeted towards kids, the drag queen story hours and the transitioning of kids, all of this other stuff, what you have to understand is that the radical far left queer theory people, mm-hmm. okay, that is where all of this stuff comes from. Yep. And the fundamental goal for the queer theory people is the normalization of pedophilia, right? Mm-hmm. So you have to understand that that is where this is all supposed to be headed. That mm-hmm. is their goal. But the idea that Florida is some place that is not a great place, that is not a safe space, that is somewhere that is dangerous for me as a black gay dude, is fundamentally ridiculous. It's complete bullshit. And anybody with half a brain will see the political machinations at play here.
Yeah, Rob, I
couldn't have said it better.
Completely agree with you. By the way, is there anybody that could weigh in on this better than a black gay dude living in Florida? I mean, hello, you couldn't even write this script.
Who got his master's story. From Columbia.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and it's a veteran. Yeah. Like, you can't.
Yeah, this is so nonsensical, hyperbolic, and hypocrisy at its finest. So I'm not a black gay dude. I'm just an straight white dude. But I'll give you, I've been living in Florida for over 40 years.
I thought you were going to come out for a second.
I thought this was like an announcement. This isn't that episode.
Today's the day of announcement. Ron made the announcement. I thought maybe you were going to
Stay tuned for tomorrow's Sozcast. Okay, got
it. No, actually, I was going to announce that I'm straight on this podcast.
Breaking news. So we convinced them, y'all.
Okay, you were telling us how far over 40
you were. So what I was
going to
say is I've lived in Florida for 40 years. And if you know anything about Florida, Memorial Day weekend, which is this weekend, black people from all over the country come here for summer break.
Yeah.
Okay,
Black
we're going
to. Black
it used to be Atlanta, Freaknik, whatever it used to be. Yeah. Pat used to go, you could tell. He's like, Freaknik, been there, done that.
Great bookstore.
Yeah, yeah.
My type of bookstore.
But so, how many black people are going to be like, all that LGBT, Pride, Gay, NAACP come out. Yeah. It's like, I'm still going to get my freak on in South Beach.
Yeah.
So it's so nonsensical. And then last month was Pride Week in Miami.
Of course.
Zero issues.
Literally.
No problems. On Sunday brunch, have you ever been to on Ocean Drive?
Palace.
They have the Rob knows it.
I mean,
they
know,
do the,
I've
the
heard.
Drag queen stuff. So like... The narrative is not matching reality.
No, it's ridiculous.
Is what I'm saying.
And let me make a point because you brought it's really funny that you brought this up. So, I was going to tweet about this. I was going to do a little video about this. Miami Beach has a Pride event.
Yeah.
Miami Beach Pride. This is literally subsidized by the Florida government. Yeah. They have all sorts of sponsors there. There were very expensive DJs that were there. There was sponsorships from Delta, American Express. There were police officers there. Yeah. All of that other stuff completely free to anybody that wanted to go, by the way. Oh, yeah. So Florida is such a terrorist state. Yeah. And Ron DeSantis is basically Stalin when it comes to gay people. Right. It's ridiculous. Like, it just does not pass the smell test even for a second. And here's the thing about the gay and lesbian vote. I don't say LGBTQ, and nobody should say LGBTQ because it's like it's ridiculous. Like, most people, we're talking about gays and lesbians here. Right. In the last election, they had found that 30% of gays and lesbians voted for Trump, right? So that's a 70-30 split. I personally think that it's more because I come across gay guys all the time. At first, when I came out as a conservative gay dude or whatever, at first it's like, you know, you lose all your friends. Everybody's like, oh, you're a pariah, right? But now, like, I go to, hey, Rob, like, you're that guy, right? Yeah, I'm that guy. No, now I understand what you're saying. Oh, this trans kid stuff is crazy. All of this, you know, this drag queen stuff is crazy. Why there have to be kids there? All of that other stuff. So gays and lesbians are more conservative than people think, especially, you know, like a gay dude that's making $250K plus a year. You think this person is going to be voting for Democrats? Absolutely not.
Why?
No, they're thinking about taxes. They're thinking about safe communities.
The same thing everybody else thinks.
It's identity politics at its finest.
Absolutely.
Oh, you're black and you're gay. You must vote Democrat, right?
Absolutely.
It's bomb words. This is Geraldo summed it up perfectly. This is a fear mongering publicity stunt. He was in out. Geraldo knows media. He's been around a long time. He sees these are just bomb words. Like when you point at somebody and yell racist, racist. You know, it's distracting bomb words. And what is interesting, Aisha Mills, who is full of crap, as you pointed out, she called it, oh, that was extremely clever. She didn't say, wow, that's an important message to keep people safe. That's what you say if you really think there's a problem. That's what you say if you think there is really risk somewhere. Instead, she comes out, oh, that was very clever to say it that way. I thought that was very telling. It's like she unveiled the whole, you know, lunacy of the issue.
Look, there's a famous poet that once said, for those that are wondering whether they should come to Florida or not to have a good time, this famous poet said, get your freak on. Her name is Missy Elliott. Okay, so if you're looking at coming to Florida to have a good time, don't worry about it. Come on down here. She is right. And for those of you guys that have a family and you want to come down here and get your freak on in a different way, with your own spouse, you can move to Fort Lauderdale or Palm Beach or Boca or Ball Harbor. Right now we're looking at properties all over the place. We're looking at Miami right now because we're wondering what we're going to be doing with the land that we're going to buy. We're going to buy the land here. Mayor Suarez is a very, very aggressive recruiter, and he's trying to talk to us about potentially moving Vitamin to Miami. But we're going to see what's going to happen.